Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
When people think of Visa, they think of credit cards. But Visa is so much more than just a credit card company. It's a technology and innovation company that's making digital payments a reality for consumers, businesses, banks, and governments all around the world. At Visa, they have a simple and unwavering vision that can be traced back to their beginnings in 1958 to be the best way to pay and be paid for everyone, everywhere. They know that every Visa transaction is a promise. Whether you're at a food truck, outside the stadium, or paying your fantasy league dues online, Visa wants to provide you with the most secure and easy payment experience possible. All you have to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. As you all know by now, I have a hate-love relationship with social media. I keep a can of Twitter off by my side throughout this show. In my view, Twitter's the sworn enemy of truth. It's the breeding ground of false narratives that influence the mainstream media. This Sunday should be the ultimate celebration of the NFL black quarterbacks and America's world-leading ability to make racial progress. Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson this Sunday is the final scene of a feel-good movie that has been playing out ever since the Houston Oilers brought Warren Moon home from Canada in 1984 and the Washington Redskins were led to the Super Bowl by Doug Williams in 1988. Lamar versus Deshaun is Drake rapping, started from the bottom, now my whole team here.
Yeah.
It's the culmination of 35 years of NFL and American progress. It's an awesome Don King only in America story. For me, this started 45 years ago in 1974 when the Los Angeles Rams made Grambling's James Harris their starting quarterback.
Sure.
I fell in love with football and the NFL that year. I'm going to watch Lamar versus Deshaun with tears of joy and pride in my eyes. Joy and pride that I live here where Lamar, Deshaun, Russell Wilson, and Patrick Mahomes can ascend to the most respected and celebrated position in all of sports. But social media and the mainstream media are going to undercut Lamar versus Deshaun by framing Sunday's celebration as a story of victimhood rather than victory. It's a very subtle manipulation of the narrative. Journalists aren't even aware their point of view is being manipulated. Many of them are well-intentioned. Yesterday, ESPN's Jamison Hensley asked Texans head coach Bill O'Brien, when Deshaun and Lamar entered the league, there were a lot of questions about how they would fit into an NFL scheme. But with their success, do you feel that those types of dual-threat quarterbacks could be the next wave of the future for the NFL? That seems harmless, but it's not true. Watson and Jackson did not face an inordinate amount of questions about their NFL fit. They weren't doubted or questioned at a higher level than Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, or even Brett Favre. Watson went 12th in the draft. Baltimore took Jackson at the bottom of the first round. Brady, Montana, Unitas, Starr, and Favre were all selected later than Watson and Jackson. Watson and Jackson aren't the wave of the future either. Steve Young, Randall Cunningham, and Michael Vick were the dual threat wave of the future years and years ago. Here's Cunningham on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1989 being hailed as the ultimate weapon. Here's Vick on the cover of SI in 2000 as the start of a revolution. And here's Young on the cover of SI in 2013 being shown as the guy who paved the road for Colin Kaepernick to be the new king. The future for black quarterbacks is now. James Harris, Warren Moon, Doug Williams, and a bunch of guys you don't know dealt with NFL bias and unfairness so that Lamar and Deshaun could shine. Lamar and Deshaun haven't been treated unfairly by the NFL. The people insist they have been, want to be popular via social media, or don't have time to study the actual history of the NFL. Instead of selling the lie the NFL treats black quarterbacks unfairly, we should be telling black kids there's never been a better time to be a quarterback. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts LeVar Arrington and TJ Husmanzadeh. Marcellus, start us off. Is Deshaun versus Lamar this Sunday a story about victimhood or victory?
Oh, man, gun to the head, and I had to pick one of these lanes, I would say victory. But not victory in the sense I think that most people are taking this. This, to me, is not a victory for the black quarterbacks. This is more of a victory of who's challenging for the MVP this year. As last year, I saw a black quarterback win the MVP. And also last year, saw two of the top quarterbacks in Russell Wilson and a Patrick Mahomes go to battle. As this year, I saw Lamar Jackson play against Russell Wilson. As this year, I saw Lamar Jackson play against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to uncloud my vision and, like you said, be a historian of the game. This is nothing new. So I'm not going to go and say, victory! I'm not bringing a lot of party favors to this celebration because I've seen this before. And I'm also not going to claim victimhood either because I know that comes with the territory of success, that the critics aim high. So for me, it doesn't land in any spot conventionally. I just say that this is good to see that these guys are two of the three top MVP candidates. And once again, we get that matchup again in the same season.
For me, it's victory. And the reason it's victory is because of what you just said. When you say the black quarterback before, and there's always going to be questions. It's not just black quarterbacks, but mainly the black quarterbacks face the question of, is he smart enough to play quarterback? That was always a question. And can he transition to be a thrower? Well, Lamar Jackson has shown, I'm a winner. And the reason it's victory is because you look at the MVP candidates. It's Lamar Jackson, it's Deshaun Watson, it's Russell Wilson. Black quarterback, that has never happened where you're in Christian McCaffrey. So you look at it that way, a white running back, it's flipped it, completely turned how the narrative, the NFL position, it's normally a white quarterback or a black running back. That is completely flipped. So from that perspective, it's a victory. And it's very true. These young quarterbacks can look and say, there's a Russell Wilson, there's a Kyler Murray, there's a Deshaun Watson, there's a Lamar Jackson, there's a Patrick Mahomes. Oh, I can be that now. I don't have to switch positions, so it's 100% a victory.
It's a victory. And I'll just bring it to a full circle. And with the willingness to make this game and focus in on how good they're going to play as quarterbacks, I think it's a major step. These are two faces that are driving the popularity of an entire game. So when you're looking at it from that lens, you certainly have to look at it as being a victory versus victimhood. And that's, I think, it's pretty simply put.
The thing for me, again, I'm a little bit older than you all.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, when I started out watching football and when James Harris started quarterbacking the NFL team, it was a big deal, a really big deal. The dude played at Grambling. I used to dream about playing at Grambling for Eddie Robinson. It was a real, and then to see it now where we are today, where basically to me, Lamar versus Deshaun, they're about the same age, same amount of experience. This might be the next Brady versus Manning for the next 10 or 15 years in the NFL. That's amazing to me. That's joyous for me. I will be emotional watching this game.
And I won't. And that's a good thing. I won't. look, one of the greatest attributes about equality is the ability to be normal. What has happened is the black quarterback has been normalized as a successful position, as a successful player. And that's a positive, thanks to the groundbreaking opportunity that came to Shaq Harris. And it's funny, you become a fan of the game the year I'm born. Damn, you are old, bro. I'm like, that's when I was coming out. So there's a difference between winning and you've won. Like, and I think that now with an MVP, obviously, Super Bowl winners we've had, and now we're talking about the highest paid at the position. I don't want to say that we've arrived in fullness, but I just want us to sit there and say, you know what? The climb has changed in its ascension. Now we are at the top in terms of four of the five top MVP candidates are black quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes added to that mix as well. So I'm sitting there like, I understand your emotion and I'm not trying to disconnect from that, but I'm in a different place in terms of grabbing a baton from a Shaq Harris, from a fan like Jason Whitlock, and taking it to the youth and saying, look, don't think that you're an exception now. The opportunities are there and there are no excuses.
And that's why it's a victory. We've both coached high school football. Mm-hmm. For so long, the narrative was, if you're a black quarterback in high school, when you get to college, what position you going to play?
Receiver.
You going to go to receiver
or DB.
You should go play DB. Now when you see all these black quarterbacks playing, it's, oh, there's a future for me at this position. That's why it's a victory, because now the kids coming up, it's not about, okay, I can play quarterback through high school, but I have to really focus on, let me learn receiver. A kid now coming out, Jalen Hurts, this is going to help him because these guys are having success. You get put to a team that can tailor an offense around you like they have with Lamar Jackson. It's shown we can be successful, we can win. And when you mature and you become a better passer, then we can transition away from the running game and you can become a passer. But until then, do what you do.
I still tend to agree with Witt on this one, though. I played football in the 90s, so it wasn't a 70s deal or 80s deal. I played in the mid to late 90s. And even then, and playing in games, you know, you get stepped on, you get called every word but your name, and it was racially motivated. You know, I went to an all-white school. I was the only.
Come on, in high school?
In high school, I was the only. I went to all white school, kind of, and got college, too.
That's only on Saturday night.
Right.
White out.
Right. But in high school, you dealt with so many. I dealt with so many things being a popular, high-trending athlete at the high school level. And so the football dynamic was very complex for me and how I view myself as a human. Am I a victim or am I a hero? Am I being judged fairly off of my talent or am I being judged based off of the color of my skin? When you come up through that type of day and age and you're able to look at a game now in 2019 and say these young men are actually being weighed and measured by their performance solely, like for the most part, that's, to me, I find myself having an emotional moment as well, because I think that there has been a lot of evolution and it stems far beyond just the realm of it being football.
All right, let's move to just a straight football question about these two guys. Who would you rather have, Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson?
I know who you got.
Yeah, you win, man. The one who was living in a moment, not the moment, a moment, predicted this earlier this season, talking about Lamar Jackson. And look, this is no shot at Deshaun Watson. In most drafts, I would sit there and say, let me pick second. You give me one. But in this draft, I got to go first because I got to get Lamar Jackson. And I'm going to give you this sentence. Listen carefully. Lamar Jackson's first 16 starts, which is a full NFL season for all of us out there, we know this. He has more wins than Patrick Mahomes, more rushing yards than my former teammate Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson, who played running back, y'all remember? A higher passer rating than Tom Brady, more yards per attempt than the Aaron Rodgers, and a higher completion percentage than the Drew Brees. Y'all gonna say somebody else? I want to hear that.
I am.
Go.
Let me jump on.
You got it.
I'm gonna jump on because I'm quick with this. It's ironic that he's in Baltimore because a guy by the name of RG3 is on that team. A guy by the name of Haloti Ngata played for them, knocked RG3's legs and his spirit from his body and saw everything.
He died on the
lay him to rest, right?
Yeah.
He is one hit away being in that open field. I got to go with Deshaun Watson because I think long-term play, although I look at Lamar and feel such a way about his talent, I'm looking at Deshaun Watson and I'm saying he gets it and he understands it in a way where he won't put himself in harm's way and I can stabilize and I can win with Deshaun
Watson. Can I just push back? Deshaun doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. They made him understand it. Two ACL injuries will alter your game no matter how you want to go out there and play.
He doesn't necessarily have to subscribe to that, though. He could still go out there and still.
One non-contact.
You know, RG3.
We're all a hit away.
Right, but we are all a hit away. And I think that, no. Now, I will say to Lamar's defense, he does have RG3 there. But I want Deshaun Watson.
But he's never been injured, too. Don't
forget
that.
There's two quarterbacks in NFL history in their first 9 games of a season with 15 rushing touchdowns. I mean, throwing touchdowns, 5 rushing touchdowns, and over 100 pass rating.
I know who that is.
Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. And so I don't think you can pick the wrong guy.
Oh, don't do that.
But I'm going to be selfish here because I'm a receiver. I'm going with who's going to get me the ball the most.
I'm going with Deshaun.
Lamar. I'm going with Deshaun Watson.
Why?
Yeah. Now, and when you compare guys, I hate it because you always you put one down. There's no – when you have –
you're right.
There's two quarterbacks in the history of the NFL in the first 9 games of the season. I'm going with Deshaun. You look at what he's doing throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I would prefer as a receiver to play with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sneeze at the 71% completion percentage right now, Deshaun Watson. This is not a shot at Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson, we don't know his ceiling.
That's the thing about it.
One, in imagination, I'm not even talking about in production, just in imagination, it factor. Two, there are no injury concerns of yet. There's a lot of predictions, a lot of forecasting.
That's a concern.
But we don't need to forecast with Deshaun.
That concerns me that Deshaun has had 2 ACLs. That's concerning.
Right.
That's concerning.
But you know what's good about that, the silver lining? He's still balling out of control even after 2 ACLs. So he's not one hit away where we don't know for sure if Lamar is going to be one hit away.
I would have started the year out. This would have been the easiest choice in the world is Deshaun Watson by a mile. Mm. As the season keeps progressing and as I keep watching this dude, Lamar Jackson, do things I didn't think he was capable. I didn't like the way the ball came out of his hand.
Yeah.
Now it's – I still don't like it, but now I'm starting to say – man, that kind of looks like how Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers throw some things off.
Deshaun Watson's release isn't the best either.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. It's kind of herky-jerk.
Yeah.
And so the point you just made about, I don't know if I know Lamar's ceiling.
Mm-mm.
I thought I did. Mm. I thought he's going to be a great runner, and he'll be a mediocre passer. I keep watching him, and he throws these balls in very tight windows. Mostly he throws to the tight end and things like that in the tight windows. I don't know his ceiling. I'm still going to lean Deshaun Watson just off of history, tradition, what I've seen work
in the
past.
We've been conditioned to think
we've
of
been
our
conditioned.
We don't know Deshaun's ceiling either, though.
Like, oh, yeah, I do.
You think so?
Yeah, he could be the next Steve Young.
Yeah.
Again, amazing. Lamar could be something
we've never seen
before.
That's fair.
If he's able to stay healthy as a runner, and then also, because even as Steve Young as a runner, it wasn't what Lamar is doing as a runner. And so
that statement alone is reason enough to not want him. I know, as crazy as that sounds, for his ceiling to be that high, where it could possibly go that far, you might feel safer going with a safer bet, right?
So who's the safer bet?
I mean, I think Deshaun would be the safer bet. Because how do you even know how to get to where Lamar Jackson could possibly
be? To me, John Harbaugh and them have figured it out. Again, if they keep him healthy in this +1 running offense, and he keeps running like that and throwing dimes.
To your point, it's funny. You mentioned this yesterday. Reggie talked about it. 3 games Lamar Jackson this year has not thrown a passing touchdown. But in each of those games, he had a rushing touchdown. They are playing basketball. Play off me, I'm a run. It. You stay on me, I'm going to throw it right over you. So, to your point, there is no limit so far because how you play it, we're going to play it better.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Whitlock and Wiley, TJ Husmanzada is back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Cleveland, where the Browns snapped their 4-game losing streak with a win over the Bills Sunday and are gearing up for a big Thursday night showdown with the Steelers on Fox. But Baker Mayfield doesn't want Browns fans too excited, saying he wants silence when the offense is on the field so they can communicate better. After a rough start, Baker's playing better the last few weeks, with big improvements in his completion percentage, touchdown to interception ratio, and passer rating since the Browns' bye in week 7. Optimistic Baker is turning his season around.
No. Stabilized, yes. Return to fundamentals, yes. Started to silence some of the noise and to separate the signal from the noise, yes. But not optimistic. One, we saw Baker Mayfield latter season last year give us a stretch of games that gave us tremendous confidence to the point where this was a very hyped team going into this season. And then we saw Baker Mayfield in the beginning of the season and the lack of chemistry with his receivers. So even though Jarvis Landry uptick in production, even Odell, not Odell's level and standard, but an uptick in production, I still show you this. 5 connections on 12 targets to Odell. So if you want me to be optimistic, let me see you go out there and execute your game plan. Not look better and kind of draw it in the dirt, but actually your game plan executed the way you drew it up. So far, I haven't seen that.
Obviously, it's optimism a little. He's turning the corner like a beginning driver. You're turning that corner, going 5 to 7 miles an hour. You're being real safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously better. Is it he's going to turn the season around? 3 weeks ago, you said, oh, you got the Steelers twice. You got the Bengals twice. Oh, number 4 victories. The way the Steelers playing, and like you said, Minkah Fitzpatrick looked like the next coming to Ed Reed. And so tomorrow's a tough game. It's tough. Baker Mayfield is he turning the season around? No. Has he played better? Yes.
There it is.
I am optimistic. And the reason why is simply because of Kareem Hunt. When I look at what Kareem Hunt brings to that passing game, he brings stability. Somebody who he can check down to, he can get the ball out of his hands. Even if the offensive line protection breaks down, I got a guy like Kareem Hunt that can still make plays with the ball in his hand, that can implement for the lack of Njoku. Like the tight ends, he's thrown 9 touchdowns this year. The tight ends equate for 5 of those touchdowns. So he doesn't have that big target in the red zone. He needs a guy that he can get easy throws to. Kareem Hunt is now inserted.
Kareem Hunt got to get on the field.
Hey, he had 7 receptions last week. He's going to be that guy that kind of fills that void.
That's a good point. I'm not optimistic because of who their opponent is Thursday.
Mm.
I'm on the record saying this, not backed up by stats, backed up by my eyes. Pittsburgh's the best defense in football. Minkah Fitzpatrick has made that big of a difference. Yeah. And then when you go to their front 4 and T.J. Watt and these guys up front, they are going to put pressure on Baker Mayfield. Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to make plays in the back end of that defense. I'm not optimistic about Thursday. We'll be having a different conversation on Friday.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm going to make a late reservation to Baker's Bistro, talking about, yeah, Baker Mayfield's back. You know what I mean? Because the first time you fooled us, all right, it's shame on you. Second time, it's shame on me, man, and I'm not going to buy it this time. I'm looking at him like, you're a franchise quarterback? You have to be consistently excellent. You can't be flash in the pan. You can't be a couple games here or there. That's how you become a broadcaster fast. You know what I mean? That's how you get here. You have a year here, a couple games here. Dog, you're not long for that job. You are in position right now to getting 2 coaches fired in 2 years. That's not on the resume of franchise quarterbacks.
I'm not going to lie. It's like Cleveland Browns are almost like a pretty girl. Like, you know you shouldn't try to talk to her because she ain't about nothing, but you just...
You got names with that like, in your mind.
Like, when you... The way Pittsburgh plays, they play a lot of single high safety. That's one-on-one on the outside. I just can't get... Mm. You can't cover Jarvis and Odell like that. But for some odd reason, 9 touchdowns and 12 picks. I'm like, how when you have those guys on the outside?
Mm.
And so that baffles me, but I always look at it like, that pretty girl, she still look good, so you think it's going to work, and it never will.
It's because they haven't had the consistent play of a tight end. When you look at Lamar Jackson, who's been this guy? Let's call it Mark Andrews.
Yeah, yeah.
Boyle. Nick Boyle, yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Even Patrick Mahomes, he has Travis Kelce, Carson Wentz has Ertz. These young guys.
You make a great point, too, because in college, Baker Mayfield threw to Mark Andrews.
Exactly. So he needs these guys that has a bigger catch radius. When you look at Odell and Jarvis, same kind of catch radius. And then their plays are typically made down the field, specifically Odell Beckham. That's not Baker Mayfield's strength. And so when I look at what Kareem Hunt brings to the table, now being inserted in their offense, he's going to kind of fill that void.
Joined now by Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher. All right, let's move to the Los Angeles Lakers, who are off to a hot start with LeBron and Anthony Davis. Early chemistry surprising a lot of people, including another big man LeBron used to play with, Chris Bosh, who just told ESPN's Brian Windhorst about the risk of playing with the all-time great, saying, quote, playing with LeBron was like buying a Ferrari. You know it's the best in the world. It looks amazing when you see it, but you have no idea how powerful it is once you try to drive it. You can go right off the road.
All right, Marcellus, is this a shot at LeBron James?
Bah! Whoa, what was that? Sniper. Remy on the roof. Remy on, hell yeah, that was a shot. And it was one of those shots that pseudo was throwing a rock and hiding your hands because the responsibility of the shot, he basically threw it out there with a timer on infinity, or at least to the end of your career. And when you step on it, he'd be like, I told you, it was out there. Right. But it wasn't me. And it's one of those dynamics that you have to play that because of relationship, him and LeBron, and mm-hmm. obviously of status, who LeBron is.
Sure.
So there's no way that you put this out there unless it's a shot, but it's well-veiled. It's covered with lots of blankets and trying to distract from what you're really trying to say until it happens.
I see it as a shot, but he wasn't aiming it at LeBron. Ooh. It was a warning shot to Chris Paul, or to Anthony Davis in that, look, you just signed up to be in the tractor beam. I know LeBron has said we're going to play through AD and you're getting a lot of touches, but you have to understand you're playing a role. This is the LeBron show and you're playing a role in it and you're going to have to find a way to exist in that. And the up and down that comes with that can be pretty severe. You're going to have to change who you are to fit in the LeBron show. Now, I believe that it's going to work because I believe ultimately that is what Anthony Davis is best suited for. He has played the role of a number one in other places, but ultimately watching him, and I've been in their locker room and seen the way those two have interacted, AD's good with being the number two in this situation. I really don't think. Chris Bosh, it was a struggle. Dwayne Wade had to basically hand the keys to the car to LeBron and say, I'm good with it. You take it over. I don't think AD is going to have a problem with it.
I don't know if he's saying it as a warning shot to AD as much as he's just saying, this goat ain't loyal. And so what he means by that, what he means by that is LeBron's very moody. LeBron came to Miami and was, hey, six, not five, not six, right. not seven.
Yep.
And Chris is like, damn, we got to two and this dude bounced. Didn't tell D. Wade he was going.
Ooh.
Didn't somebody end up taking less money thinking LeBron was coming back and blah, blah, blah. And so to me, that's what he's talking about. Yeah, LeBron's a powerful force. He'll get you all caught up and emotional. Man, we winning seven titles. We boys dogs for life. And then the dog went running off to Cleveland again.
Well, that's a different dynamic.
That's off the road.
All accurate, but context matters. Their situation was really trying to merge three number ones in their situations on one team. And that is the consequence of trying to do that. Chris Bosh, the one and the number one of LeBron and D. Wade had to figure it out before they got to you. So you're sitting there starving in that moment. This dynamic is different where AD has come to realize that, you know what, LeBron has to be closer to the end than the beginning.
Right.
Maybe on his way out, I will keep in my back pocket Chicago and all that conversation. But I'm okay in this dynamic duo. I'm okay letting this guy lead the charge, even though it's working and functioning through me. As the only one up here qualified, and I'm making an assumption because of me owning a Ferrari before, let me tell you one thing about this. He ain't lying. I crashed my Ferrari. Day one, I got it. That rear wheel drive and that booty, just rah, boom, yeah. Right into a ditch. Stories on Instagram. Point of this is, LeBron is not going to drive you out of control because you didn't know what you were expecting like I did with my Ferrari. You know what you're getting into when you see LeBron coming.
Yeah, see, I'm not so sure about that. I think it's a lot like the Ferrari. You know you bought a powerful engine. You know you are playing with a great player, but exactly what that means once you get behind the driver's seat, or in this case, you get in the passenger seat, is a different element. And keep in mind, AD has said, he doesn't really want to play five. He wants to play a certain role.
He's playing five.
Right. And that's part of the equation, which is you may have your idea about how and where you want to play, but there's somebody else who's ultimately going to make that decision.
Yeah. And again, I want to go back to the origination, when those guys all came together, we taking less money, and it's all about us. And look, I guarantee there were conversations. We're going to go down in history. We're going to win so many titles.
And there's going to be so much value on the backside of what we do here in Miami. And it was nice. They won two titles. But they did not make history. This is not some... They won't be writing about the Heat dynasty. That's still Tim Duncan and the Spurs. Mm. And so I just think he's telling AD and anybody that'll listen, man, like, LeBron's going to do LeBron.
Sure.
Don't get caught up in the emotion.
I think that's fair, but in terms of leaving or going in another direction, I mean, look, LeBron's planted a flag. He wanted to be in L.A. Mm. He went to L.A. as opposed to going to the Lakers.
He planted a tombstone, but we'll get
to
that.
Let me torture this analogy one more time, because I don't think y'all understanding, as once again, I'm going
to
say it.
You're going to go back to the Ferrari?
I'm only qualified one up here. Damn it, had one. Had two, actually. Let me tell you this. It's not the Ferrari. It's you who gets distracted because you get tempted to do too much. So what happens is if you get into this situation and you get distracted or you think you could do too much, it will humble you. In my situation, it was a pretty woman, and you know what? I had to get where I had to go, and I wasn't listening at the speed limit. With LeBron, if you play the role, if you understand what this is, because I think LeBron is great in the communication with his teammates, not so much outside those borders. If you stay in that lane, we'll be fine. You try to manage those expectations, we're great. Don't speed. You do too much, you will
Bosh and Wade got out of their lanes. They tried to do too much. They acquiesced,
yes,
and the dude left.
You ready for this? Dwayne Wade got out of his lane. You know why? Dwayne Wade was descending when he was with LeBron. True or false?
Yeah, no.
All right, so
he recognized the only way I can win is if I allow this guy to drive.
Both of y'all been married.
Yeah.
And they felt like this to death do us part.
Man, I ain't dying on that court.
Good health and bad health.
I ain't dying on that court.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Greg Jennings are back. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, big homie.
Yes, sir. Let's move to the Seahawks news receiver, Josh Gordon, who was asked during a radio appearance yesterday about moving from the Browns to the Patriots to the Seahawks and said, quote, "Seems like in this part of my career, I'm trending upwards in quarterbacks." Mm. Sounds like a bit of a shot at Tom Brady. Want to ask you guys, you have a problem with Gordon taking the shot to GOAT?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, the Patriots showed a lot of patience with this guy as he worked through his off-field issues and emotional issues. No reason to take any shot at anything that happened in New England.
It's not just a shot. It's a bullseye, which in comedy 101 means it's not funny. Like, you can't just call the fat person fat. You got to kind of find the person that's...
I agree with that.
Hey, I'm with you too, man. Shoot, I got a vacation this weekend too. Let me say this. It wasn't with the negative spirit. It wasn't with malice. It was just factual. It's shocking because of the name that's included Tom Brady and the brand that's included in Tom Brady. But let's just be real. Who's in the MVP race right now? The quarterback he has now or the quarterback he just left? Okay. Brady is 42 years old. We're about at the end of that album somehow, some way. I don't know if the song's going to be good from here to the outro, but what he said was just factually correct. And I think he did it with pure intentions.
Yeah, I hear you, but I'm with Jason on this. You need not say that. When you're coming off of the career that you've had and the issues off the field in a team and a quarterback, let's just be straight specific. A quarterback supports you and pretty much whoever they bring in that system, specifically when they have to play on his side of the ball. He's always been very embracive. He embraced Josh Gordon. He wanted it to work. He was patient. I just don't see how you take that shot. I get it. Is it factual? Possibly. But
hold on, possibly. Don't do that, Greg.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Don't be an analyst up here.
I'm with you.
Come on.
It's factual for what you stated, yes, but...
What have you stated? It's the record.
Yeah, you're right. But we're talking about the GOAT, man. Come on, man.
Oh, let him just be a GOAT, huh?
Yeah, let him be a GOAT.
But when they ask you about the GOAT, lie about the GOAT.
Nope, yeah. I didn't say lie about it. Mm.
I don't have a problem with it. And I don't think that he meant any harm by it.
Right.
You have Baker Mayfield, who is struggling. You have Tom Brady, who is in the twilight of his career. And you're playing with a possible leading candidate for the MVP. Why does it have to be any more complicated than that?
Let me give you an example.
Please do.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Dan Snyder has said, hey, London Fletcher, we're trending upward at linebacker.
Okay. Maybe they were. But
you wouldn't be bothered.
If you're saying,
you wouldn't be bothered.
If you're saying he left from play,
get all up in that gold jacket.
London's a possible Hall of Famer.
Why you saying his name? Why you saying his name like that?
London is a possible Hall of Famer. Butch, by the way, they spelled his name incorrectly when they inducted him.
Answer the question.
I would not have a problem with that.
Because it's true.
If it's true, it's
true. No, it's true, right?
Why we got to have if? Why do we got to have
if? It's true. London was better than you in the NFL, right?
He was a middle backer. I was outside backer.
Man, don't you do that.
We talking about faces. Oh, yeah, what was he had a better face in the defense.
Yeah, exactly. He had greater impact than what you could have had in the games. You having to...
Then he just called me Lamar. So y'all just flat out want to turn this into disrespect LeVar segment.
Why are you disrespecting Tom Brady?
No, I'm not.
You and Josh Gordon.
I'm not. I think he had an honest moment, and now people like you are making him a target, and I don't like it. I disagree with it. I don't think there was any malice involved.
LeVar Lamar, I am with you, brother.
You did call me Lamar.
I did. I don't know why.
I'm a thumb wrestler.
But listen to this. In today's world, everybody wants to smoke, right? So as soon as you wake up, you can smell it. Grandma already out there barbecuing for no reason. So I'm looking at this situation like y'all want to make this something that it's not because it's factually correct. He didn't say it with malintention. And the crazy part about it is if Tom Brady were to walk up to an evaluator right now, in the currency exchange of how great Tom Brady is.
He shouldn't even be in the league, right?
He would scan him up and down as terms of body of work this year and looking at his talents and say, what else you got?
Right.
Then you throw six rings there, then it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yes.
He is in an equity situation.
He is in an equity play.
More so. He won the Super Bowl last year.
Right. Right. And playing worse every single round to get in that Super Bowl. What was it? One touchdown, two touchdowns, and three interceptions? Like, just be, man, damn. I know he's the best.
I hear what you're saying.
But come on. We can't keep it real on everybody?
We can keep it real. But the real is, number one, if we want to keep it 100% real, okay. Josh Gordon wouldn't even been out there if Tyler Lockett is healthy. That's fair.
He just got there, though.
I don't care. The fact that we're even talking about him is because he made two crucial catches.
Yeah.
Because Tyler Lockett is only learning the playbook.
Let me tell you what the reality is.
Let me know when.
Oh, man. He's a flop. He's been a disaster. He's had one good year. Yeah. He couldn't get himself together. So Tom Brady could speak some truths on Josh Gordon.
Facts.
And but again, Tom Brady's too classy. He's not going to take pot shots
and that's
at
fine.
Josh Gordon. Why is Josh Gordon taking
It doesn't have to be a shot. It doesn't. We don't have to make it into him taking a pot
he's
shot.
He's trending towards younger quarterbacks.
He's saying he's trending up. He's trending
why
up.
Does it even have
because
to be a
Baker,
pot shot?
Baker you is ain't right younger. With Baker is younger than Russ.
Well, he never but played he, for Baker Mayfield.
And he's trying to endear himself to Russ. Come on, Russ is probably sitting there like, man, you
he got at least 10 years. That's all the endearing.
You compared
Russ
me to Tom Brady. Like you're trending up from Tom with me. Like let's go get this Super Bowl then, Josh.
It's a pot shot.
Let's go get this.
That's a pot shot, isn't it?
It's a pot. You can't bite the hand that feeds. I can't come on here talking about Whitlock.
His hand ain't
even
feeding
him. Even if some
him.
I say might be true.
You
Tom Brady's hand
so
is not
a pot
feeding
shot.
Him.
But when you leave. Russell Wilson feeding him right now, so it's not a pot shot.
But nah, but listen.
What?
The Patriots gave him that opportunity. The league wasn't giving him an opportunity. Josh Gordon was out the league.
Darnell keeps it. He's loyal.
Talk
he
to
wouldn't
him.
Work for Oprah. He wouldn't say I'm trending upward.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would.
Well, let me just go on right now.
And it would be
you
based
be
off of factual
you ain't got to say it. Understanding
I love you to death, Whit. But if Darnell could go work for Oprah Winfrey, he's trending up.
Well, you ain't got to say it, LeVar. Whit. You ain't got to
yes,
say
you
it.
Yes, you would.
You know it.
I quit. I got Oprah. Oprah's paying me now. I'm done.
Joined again by Rick Bucher and LeVar Arrington. Time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. All right, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has organized a special workout for former NFL quarterback turned silent Twitter activist Colin Kaepernick. Schefter said today that Goodell arranged the workout this Saturday in Atlanta because Goodell feels bad about how things have turned out for Kaepernick, who has remained unemployed the past three seasons after being radicalized by his girlfriend Nessa and staging a national anthem protest.
Kaepernick and his team of exploiters slash lawyers sued the NFL for collusion and then settled out of court for a small sum of money. He has maintained relevancy via social media by switching between cornrows and an afro, objecting to the Betsy Ross flag, wearing a wide assortment of dashikis, and retweeting famous quotes. My point is, I understand why Roger Goodell feels sorry for Colin Kaepernick. Cap has been used and abused by forces Cap doesn't fully understand. People took advantage of his justifiable identity crisis and defined his identity as a black man by his willingness to torch his football career in a pointless publicity stunt. Oh, I get it. Cap is a victim, but not of the NFL. He eats dinner and socializes with his true enemies every day. But I would caution the commissioner with the words I tell all young people: pity don't pay no bills. What I mean by that is pity is a fool's currency. It has virtually no tangible value. It serves the giver's conscience far more than it does the receiver's future empowerment or opportunity. I think Goodell is aware of this. I believe that's why the workout is scheduled for this Saturday rather than next Tuesday or the following Saturday. Kaepernick and his supporters are upset Goodell did not arrange the workout at a time when it would be more convenient for top-level scouts and executives to attend. Goodell is already bending over here. What's he arranged? He's already arranged an unprecedented workout for Kaepernick. Is he going to schedule a workout for Dez Bryant? Dez tore his Achilles. He's out of work and looking for his next NFL opportunity. Is Dez unworthy of empathy? No. Goodell and football people want to see how bad Cap wants back in the NFL. That's important. The NFL doesn't need Colin Kaepernick. It doesn't need Antonio Brown. It doesn't need any of these guys who believe they're bigger than the game. Can Cap get through this workout without painting himself as a victim? He's off to a bad start. His tweet last night indicates a level of delusion that's scary. He said he's looking forward to seeing head coaches and general managers at the workout. Cap thinks he's Tua Tagovailoa or Chase Young, the hottest prospects on the market. Cap should be happy if a half dozen teams send an area scout and a stopwatch. Mm. All right, guys. Marcellus.
Yeah.
Is this workout a good idea?
Not for Colin Kaepernick. For the NFL, yes. And I preface this by saying my grandma used to always tell me, baby, you can't make sense out of nonsense. But I'm going to try. Like you said, unprecedented. Never seen this before. An active player getting the opportunity, and this opportunity seems forced. This opportunity seems like it's coming from the NFL. And I know there are reports out there that this is not a part of the NDA, part of the settlement, but I will disagree with that. I think this is what an NDA looks like. Okay, we have our understandings that we're going to give you another opportunity to at least audition for everyone else, even if it's not a real chance. So Colin Kaepernick is within a week of a workout is told, be here. This is where your workout is. Colin Kaepernick is not mutually agreed upon these terms, but why isn't Colin Kaepernick tapping out of those terms or tapping out of this workout? Because he can't. So now he's going to show up within 5 days of a workout, put on his best performance without even knowing who will be in attendance. Wanted to change the date. Nope, not going on another Saturday. Wanted to change the date. Nope, we're not going on a Tuesday when you can ensure a greater participation and attendance. To me, these are the fine print examples of what an NDA looks like, and this is part of that settlement.
Non-disclosure agreement. Go ahead.
Yes.
I don't see how this serves anybody's purpose. For me, the Colin Kaepernick controversy had died down and was in the rearview mirror. Mm. This only brings it all back. And to suggest that it proves that the NFL has always had its door open to Colin Kaepernick, that certainly doesn't do it for me either. It's been 3 years. And we're talking about this workout not being for now, but being for next season. So we're really talking 4 years now. So all you do is bring this back. Look, I was down with the cause and where this started, what Kaepernick's protest and what he was trying to bring attention to. I was down with that. The carrying out of that message is where he lost me because there was no messaging. I just did a podcast with Derrick Rose, and we talked about the fact that he allowed other people to tell his narrative. He was the first one to wear the I Can't Breathe t-shirt.
Derrick Rose
was the first one. A week later, LeBron goes to New York, plays Brooklyn. He wears the t-shirt. Now, this is post Derrick Rose knee injuries. This is LeBron going back to Cleveland and being the hometown hero. Derrick, when he wore the t-shirt, didn't talk to the media. Did it a couple days later. Didn't at the time. So now other people took the narrative. That's what Colin Kaepernick has allowed to have happen. And what I see is that continuing now. Because he's no more in charge of what's going on than he was at the very beginning of this.
He's not capable of being in charge.
It's bad for Cap. Really bad. Super bad. All-time bad. Bad, bad, bad. Michael Jackson bad. And the reality for me is that for something that you gave your career away for, you gave it to the people. For a better way of stating it, you gave your career away for the people. You wanted people to understand what social injustice represents. You're using your platform, and now you don't have it. The fact that you are trying so hard and so desperately to get back to the place of where you condemned and protested and messaged what you wanted to become what you became. I think it exposes a light on the fact that this is not about social injustice for Colin Kaepernick. It's about Colin Kaepernick. So it's a bad idea. If you ride out into the sunset being who you are, I did this. I took the knee. I'm not in the league because of it. Everybody knows it. Keep getting your work. I hate this whole narrative of he's out of work. It's a shame he's out of work. No, he doesn't work for the NFL. The same employer that you chose to do your protesting. I find it to be very damning to him, and I don't like it in the sense that it exposes him for being selfish versus being someone who's for the community.
I like Rick's point of I'm not sure if this is good for the NFL. I think a lot of people think, you know, this is going to work out good and makes the NFL look good. I think it just drags this whole conversation back to the forefront. And to me, they're having it on Saturday. All this woke media is going to cover it like it's the, you know, the Olympic Games. There'll be more media than coaches and interested football people. And they're doing it at the same time. I'm like, man, I'm my whole weekend is built around Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. Guys, I can't wait to see play football. Not some guy that hasn't played for several years. I just don't get this. The NFL just had one of its best weekends ever in terms of excitement, games, and blah, blah, blah. And now here we go again with Colin Kaepernick. Bad play by the NFL.
Great play by the NFL. Let's trust in this, $18 billion economy that they created, that there is a method to their madness in all respects. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Colin Kaepernick has stayed relevant in martyrdom. And in martyrdom, it's activated in death or silence.
So bring him back to life.
So let's bring him back to life and let destroy him. Kill himself.
Kill himself.
Show that video. We Come taping on, this. Show this video. We taping this. Every team going to get to see it.
Come on.
Taping the interview as well.
Come on.
We want to hear it because you know what happened? When your lawyer comes out a couple months ago and says, you know what? I want to clear the air of all the misconceptions, which I know he was talking to me because everybody else been saying stuff for years. Nobody else got a lawyer or agent to talk. And then all of a sudden, boom, right after I say it, okay, so let's talk. Let's volley. You want to clear the air. So the NFL says, oh, you think that our discussions aren't private. You want to clear misconceptions. So what now the NFL will do is say, Colin Kaepernick, here's your chance. Are you ready for that opportunity? Are you thriving in this moment? And it's on Cap. I'm not saying that he's going to fail. I'm saying that the NFL is going to get rid of what has been carrying his platform for this many years, which is martyrdom. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get to substance. We're going to get to production. We're going to get from imagination to reality and let the world
see. The genius of it is that it's the NFL. It's Roger Goodell. Roger put himself out there. I want to see this happen. I don't like the way it ended. Da, 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 blah, blah, blah. It's the NFL. So if the NFL is facilitating this, that doesn't mean they don't. The NFL doesn't facilitate to each and every one of those franchises and to those owners and to them GMs and say, you have to hire him because the NFL sanctioned this workout. It's genius.
To the point
it's
of
genius.
Don't think that Roger Goodell woke up yesterday with a different moral compass.
No.
Like, just look, I love me some Roger Goodell. I love the opportunity for Colin Kaepernick, and I wish everybody who wants to achieve their dreams good luck. But do not think that the NFL just woke up and said, you know what? Man, he deserves a chance.
Right.
This is calculated, y'all.
Absolutely.
And we're going to see how it plays.
I get that. But I can't erase that it's been 3 years. Just because you're saying, oh, you want a shot now? The odds are against Colin Kaepernick being able to. We go in knowing it, that the chances of him looking good when he doesn't even know the circumstances are against him.
But that,
you have to know that. So that doesn't erase the fact that for 3 years there have been guys that have been on rosters and that have gotten an opportunity to try out.
Cap.
Bottom, whatever the case may be, it's been 3 years he hasn't played. This doesn't erase that. What I really don't understand is why Colin at this point is taking part in this.
Because he signed on to this. Let me just, I've signed a few NDAs.
Signed on to what?
Listen,
I'm like,
to,
I don't know what he signed
on
up for.
To, look, in part, this is my opinion-based information. When we're signing this settlement, one of the things I want in this, on top of monetary compensation, is an opportunity. And Roger Goodell says, you know what?
There
within a calendar year or season, you will get your opportunity.
And
here's your audition.
I'm gonna tell you, the other thing is on, Colin Kaepernick, surrounded by his enemies that he thinks are his best friend, he can't see himself doing anything else but playing football.
Which
because
is
trust,
so strange.
It's strange. It's wrong. Because trust me, if I'm denied work here for 3 weeks, I'm going to find something else to do. Because that's
exactly
in my moral fiber. That's what my parents demanded. That's what my whole life is built around. You're not going to deny me work. I'm going to go out and create it myself if I have to. Again, it's like, again, my father started his own business because he didn't
tell
like the way...
Name.
Jimmy Whitlock.
Jimmy
Whitlock. Because they didn't like the way... If my mother can work and has worked her entire life, a black woman that was born in the 30s, she can... This dude that was born last week, he can't get a damn job? You can't get out of here. I don't feel
the
sorry.
The unemployment part is strange.
It's embarrassing. As a man, I would be offended by
you
that.
You can't use unemployed.
You sitting around on your ass healthy... For 3 years,
talk
any
to him,
man,
I'm with
you should be in bear.
Tell him how you feel.
Any woman should be in bear. We're going to continue our conversation about Colin Kaepernick, who is scheduled to have a workout to open to all 32 NFL teams this Saturday. Kaepernick has been out of football for 3 years and says he's been working out at 5 a.m., 5 days a week, the whole time. But even before his protest cut his career short, his effectiveness as a quarterback had fallen off quite a bit. All right, LeVar Arrington is back with us, and we're joining us once again for this conversation is T.J. Houshmandzadeh. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Do you think Kaepernick can still help a team?
Oh, absolutely. It's not even a question. The problem is, where does it land to get that result, to get that impact? Because if all reports are true, Colin Kaepernick is now long for a backup job. So if it's just about a starting opportunity or situation, then I don't think a team brings him into the fold in that position because so much is invested in the starting quarterback and so much is unknown about Colin Kaepernick, the player 3 years removed from the field, and also the person and what is he going to represent when he's a part of an organization. So there's been reports before of Colin Kaepernick saying no to a backup situation. Whatever that is, the truth or the lie of that, the point is, I think he would have to come in a slow drip situation. We bring you in, we monitor you, we see how you're going to be a part of this team in chemistry. Problem is, sounds like Kaepernick doesn't want that opportunity.
Oh, no question he can help a team. His final season, he has 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Now,
how many games did San Francisco win?
It doesn't matter.
One!
Statistically, he was fine. Now,
wonder him.
His eyes are going to have to get adjusted to playing football again. When you're out for 3 full seasons, and where he can really help a team and help himself at the same time is he's running a scout team. And so he's going to help a team from that perspective. And he's going to get himself better in the meantime, and reality sets in. And Cap, he has to come in as a backup. So coming in as a starter is out of the question. Okay. Reality set, I've been out the NFL for 3 years. The NFL has thrived without me. Let's hope they can thrive with me now. Reality will set in. I'll work my way, hopefully, into a starting position.
He can still help a team. Of course, he can still help a team in a myriad of different ways.
I should have said, can he help a team win?
Well, but okay, yeah. But here's the problem. The problem is, while he can help, the bad or baggage connected to him outweighs the help. Wow. He's not going to help. And really? Here's why. Well, here's why. If he comes in, there's going to be a tremendous outcry, and it's going to be a ton of confusion until he starts. There's going to always be the narrative because
it depends on what team he goes to.
No, it doesn't. Yes, it doesn't. Does. No, it doesn't really. Because
if he goes to Seattle, it's going to be a cry to start?
Yes, there
come
is.
Come on, man.
It is.
Oh,
because of, yes, it will. Yes, it will. And let me tell you why.
You cannot think you're right.
Let me tell you why. I 100% think I'm right. All of the supporters that are connected to Kaepernick are not going to see the logic. They might not even understand football. Their whole thought process is, if it's not doing right by Kaepernick, it's wrong. Well, yeah, and that's going to be a problem no matter where he goes, no matter if it's Russell Wilson.
I don't know about everywhere.
Okay.
You know,
yesterday
you made a point about Marcellus. Yep. This is one of those where you needed to go to an Ivy League school so that you would understand this situation.
I went to Penn State. We have a very high graduation rate.
Allegedly.
Even though I dropped out.
I got great tutors. We got
nailed it. Oh, see? Full circle.
Don't do that.
But
don't do that. Look, don't you go there.
How about that?
Here's what I think is going on with Kaepernick and perhaps one particular trust me, Kaepernick's at home on his couch watching Lamar Jackson ball out and just tears just come down.
Man.
Oh, that should
that
be.
Was
me.
That was me.
That was
and
me.
Should be.
All the way to the Super Bowl.
And so I think this whole thing is about Greg Roman's going to get a head coaching job next year.
All right.
And he'll take Kaepernick as his new quarterback with a chance. If you can play your way into the starting position, you can do that. That's what the long play of this is, and that's why people are talking about next year. Greg Roman's going to get a head coaching job. Kaepernick will be one of his quarterbacks.
Ooh, okay, I believe you. Here's the thing. Is Greg Roman going to leverage his situation and opportunity with an owner who may be sitting on the other side of that fence?
Because he is going to be on the other side of the fence.
More than likely, if we go by the numbers, more owners going to be on the other side.
He's going to be on the
other side of the fence.
Like, I don't want to deal with the Kaepernick stuff. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's different between saying, I want to help a team win and I'm going to help an organization thrive. So organizations look at it differently than just, I want production and production.
So basically what we're saying is this Saturday, it's more so about the interview than the workout.
No
the
question.
Interview
it's the
is.
They're doing
it's
his more, measurements. We know it's fraud.
No, it's
why
the
you
interview.
The interview
what TJ's
is
talking
paramount.
About yes. is they want to hear from Cap.
Yeah.
I'm going to play football. I'm going to stand up for the national anthem. I'm going to play football. Get me to Greg Roman as soon as I can.
The workout doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's what
I want to do what Greg Roman's doing with Lamar.
Here we go.
Lamar Jackson. That's what I'm telling you. That's why Kaepernick is, again.
You're almost there.
I think
that's,
he's
that's
moving.
That's almost right.
I think he's moving.
I'm with you.
I know what it is.
What you said earlier. Dude, kill the mortar them, right? Let him kill himself.
Put yourself out there. Cap is forced to take this workout because it's not even on his terms. The week of your chance to do
it. When has anything with the NFL been on a player's terms?
Oh, stop that.
When?
Stop that. You know the combine's coming, don't you? Dude, does it drop
on your
turn?
They set the date.
Hold on, but you show up.
You wanted to go to Indianapolis.
You show up right after you.
Indianapolis. You wouldn't have rather come to LA.
They put you on an itinerary on their turn.
Yes, and that's what? You know that, not the week of?
But to have him, to have him.
Did the combine drop on your head?
You touched on something.
We got
to
go.
Oh, man. To have him come out and say, I'm going to stand for the anthem. I'm going to do this.
Oh, they taping it.
Move on from it. Look here.
Then the owner's going to take it.
No.
Greg Roman's going to come in. It's an exciting offense, and it'll be exciting to watch.
Exonerate themselves.
Fail at trying to be Lamar Jackson. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Colin Kaepernick.
You.
Yeah.
You.
Big dummy of the day.
Big dummy of the day. Go to the person who said that the Pittsburgh Steelers had the best defense, even though they rated 12th.
Exactly.
Hey, that's kind of like you and your love life. She told you, you rated 12th, but you still swear you the best.
I trust my eyes.
Let's talk Colin Kaepernick, who is getting another shot at the NFL this week. With the league scheduling a workout for the quarterback that's open to all 32 teams on Saturday, Marcellus, do you think Cap will be on a team before the season is over?
No. I think this is going to set him up perfectly to either show and prove, or they're going to move on from this storyline that's been a part of the NFL for 3+ years. So we're all going to be, in terms of seeing this, part of the evidence to witness either he's ready or he's not. And guys start slow when they miss training camp, let alone 3 seasons. Ooh, this is going to be tough on Cap. We'll see.
Cap will be a Cincinnati Bengal coached by Greg Roman next year. Uncle Jimmy,
wow, look at
your thoughts.
Look at you.
Look at man. This is why we here at the Kaepernick Nation love us some Colin Kaepernick. He's a real brother. And this is why we can relate to him as a people. Unlike you, Whitlocks.
Whitlocks.
Look at man. Either one of y'all ever applied for a job at the post office?
Nah, my mom and dad
One of them good government jobs.
Yeah, both my parents.
You know, one of them that they tell you all about the benefits, overtime, vacation, health insurance. And the only thing you thinking is, oh, Lord, I'm finally going to be able to get my little cockeyed son's eyes fixed. God is good. And all of a sudden, you get all excited, like, oh, Lord. And then they be like, all you got to do is pee in this cup right here. See? You see how they do our people?
What?
You see how they do our people?
No. What?
See, that's what they do.
What they do.
And that's what Roger Goodell did to Colin Kaepernick.
A urine analysis? That's what?
Cap thought that Goodell was feeling sorry for him.
Yeah.
Trying to give him the hookup. And instead, Goodell hit him with that old loop-de-loop and had it in that cup. Talking about, come on now, Colin. It's just a formality. Everyone has to do it. Come on. Yeah, right.
Do this workout.
Yeah. Look, man, this ain't going to be good for Cap. He wasn't ready for this.
Nope.
Look, man, y'all know how we feel at work when we see that dude show up, man, with the clipboard and the cup. We all looking around the corner like, we start getting real nervous. We start sweating like a priest during confession. That's how they do all the greats, man.
The priest.
Barry Bonds, Lance Armstrong. Hell, that's how they did Uncle Jimmy. Look, man, last time I took a urine analysis, they come talking about the sample came out smoking. Hey, man, my union set me up.
What?
Look, man, let me explain something to you. Yeah. Listen to me, Cap.
What?
You can't sue a company and then turn around and ask for your job back. Look, man, I tried that in Kansas City. I did it, and I won. And y'all know how your family get when they hear you won a settlement.
What?
Hands start looking like these cups.
Everybody got that
Look,
cup.
Look, man, they ain't me and Cap got the same thing in both of our settlements. We got a pack of annihilators and a trip to an unemployment office. Why the hell you think I'm out here? I went from a 20-year sheriff's deputy to dressing like Jason Whitlock's court jester. Listen to me, Cap. You seen the movie Color Purple? Don't do it, Mr. Seeley. Don't trade places for what I done been through. Don't do it, Cap. It's a setup.
It is a setup.
It's the loop-de-loop.
It's a setup.
All right.
Okay.
5 days from now.
Let me get my approval rating for Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, man. You better drink some cranberry juice.
He's officially a dumpster fire.
Ooh.
Yeah. Drop him 5 points in authenticity.
Man.
2 points in job performance. All the way down to a 34.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, man. What coach always say, it takes forever to get in shape and no time to get out of it, and you only get in football shape playing football. 3 years removed, and they drop a workout on your head 5 days before it. Woo! Good luck, brother. Good luck.
They set right, you up, man.
The internet agrees with both of us. 61% dumpster fire for Colin Kaepernick.
Good luck, man.
I say go do the workout.
You got to.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.